5 minutes every 5 years for our nation. It's doable, isn't it? Let's vote with pride. My vote, my voice.
कि बहुत तैयारियां हमने की हैं और कर रहे हैं, आप वोट देने जरूर आए. मतदान के दिन आपका आना हमारे लिए बहुत ही गौरव की विषय होगा.
On April 19th, India began its exhaustive exercise of electing the 18th Lok Sabha. But as polling closed in 102 parliamentary constituencies across 21 states and union territories, the voter turnout left political parties worried. As per Election Commission of India statistics, there was a clear 3% dip in the voter turnout as compared to first phase of polling in 2019 Lok Sabha elections. Was it the heat that kept the voters away? Or a general fatigue with elections? Or the impression among voters that even if they did not vote, it didn't matter? This is the Economic Times Special Elections Podcast, Polls on My Pod. In this episode, we will examine the low voter turnout in the first phase of polling and also take you to Bihar, Kerala and Maharashtra to bring you stories from the election trail. It is Wednesday, the 24th of April. I am your host Nidhi Sharma and you are listening to The Morning Brief. On Monday, 22nd April, 3 days after the first phase of polling, Prime Minister Narendra Modi addressed a meeting in Aligarh. He asked BJP workers to go door to door and ensure every voter votes.
Mera aapse anurodh hai ki aap ghar ghar jaiye, sabhi matdataon jo jaakar ke इन सारे विषय घर में बैठ करके बताइए और उनसे वादा करिए कि छुट्टी हो, शादी हो, कुछ भी हो, लेकिन वोट करने जाएंगे. उनसे वादा करिए.
दिस क्लियरली रिफ्लेक्टेड द सिंगल बिगेस्ट वरी ऑफ ऑल पॉलिटिकल पार्टीज, अ लो वोटर टर्नआउट. In last week's episode, while bringing you the stories from Rajasthan, I had mentioned how this was weighing on the minds of candidates. While campaigning in villages of Didwana in Nagaur parliamentary constituency, BJP candidate Jyoti Mirdha had said clearly that BJP voter thinks the party is anyways winning, so it won't make a difference if he voted or did not. Even my colleague Shantanu Nandan Sharma had spoken about the disinterest of voters of Manipur and how he had expected a fall in turnout in the strife-torn state. The first phase of polling has proven this fear true. In Manipur, the voter turnout has plunged from 82.8% in 2019 parliamentary elections to 75.4%. The Election Commission has now sought a report from all chief electoral officers of states. I have with me my colleague from ET's Political Bureau, Anubhuti Vishnoi, who covers the Election Commission for us. Anubhuti, tell us, what is the reason for low voter turnout in the first phase of polling for the 18th Lok Sabha? Is it a general fatigue with elections or the heat wave or a combination of factors?
Look, I think it is still early days to exactly pinpoint what may be the reason behind this dip, which we've seen. It's about 3% now from latest data that we have from the Election Commission. And it is also too early for a heat wave to kick in. Please remember, even in 2019, the second phase was held around 18th of April. And it's not like it's extraordinarily hot yet to be a deterrent in voting. So it's not like you can pinpoint to an exact issue or factor just now. As we were have been discussing, there may be several factors at play, and every state has come up with different reasons for a dip. You know, as we know that Uttarakhand also has talked about the marriage season that also played out in Rajasthan, the harvest season coinciding in some places, and sudden rains expediting things. That has been considered a factor in other places. In Bihar, they've said natural presence in certain areas may have caused a dip. So it seems to be a variety of reasons. Now, of course, looming large is this whole issue of voter fatigue and apathy, general voter apathy. But I would think that should play out over the next 2-3 phases also before we can conclusively say that this is the key reason.
So what exactly is the Election Commission of India thinking? Are they thinking of taking some steps?
Yes, of course. And lots of discussion has happened within the commission on this. If we talk about today, today itself, they did hold a high level meeting with NDMA, the Home Ministry, as well as with the Health Ministry to consider the issue of heat wave. And just in case it kicks in the later phases of the election, what are the steps and mitigation measures that can be taken? So they've set up a task force. This task force will meet and review the situation on ground 5 days before every election phase and look at the steps that need to be taken. And for phase two, which we will see on this Friday on April 19, the Indian Met Department has already said that there is no heat wave condition for that phase. So that is not an immediate worry. But yes, the EC is seized on the matter and looking at heat wave as a factor. But on the other hand, there are other issues which we've discussed, voter apathy or urban apathy, and or fatigue of some sort. And for that, the commission has informally sensitized all chief electoral officers again. All CEOs are also reaching out to political parties, as well as, peddled up on all kinds of sweep, or what we in the EC parlance, it's called sweep, but generally it's public awareness activities to reach out to voters at campuses, everywhere in public places to come out and vote. So I think all efforts are being made in that regard, and we have to wait and watch, really.
So you're saying that there is a combination of factors that has worked towards fall in causing a fall in the voter turnout?
Appears to be the case. Please remember also, we have about 96 crore voters this time, and a huge number is the young set. So 21.5 crores are below 29 years of age just now. So it's a significant voting segment. Even below 40, there is a huger segment. So this can be a determinant factor if these people don't go out and vote, which we are seeing increasingly in urban centers. Remember also, the Election Commission has held a meeting about a month, 2 months back on the issue of urban apathy and lower voter turnout. And you could see clearly that even last Lok Sabha elections, about 50 constituencies had very, very low voter turnout, of which 17 were purely urban areas. So, in fact, 11 states, the voter turnout, even in 2019, was much lower than the national average. Of course, when we look at Tamil Nadu, we should have expected a higher percentage there. And that is a cause for concern. Why did that happen? So that is where issues of voter apathy and fatigue come in. Frankly, I think more than the heat factor, these are at play just now.
Anubhuti, there's one data point that had come sometime back that only 30% of the eligible youth voter that turned 18 between 2019 and now, only 30% have actually enrolled for voting in the electoral rolls. So is EC a little worried about this kind of a trend?
Generally speaking, EC has been talking about this repeatedly has been working quite hard to try and get young voters to enroll and to vote. You will hear stories of how they have campus ambassadors. They've got young people, that's why, to be EC ambassadors also, to reach out to this segment. But obviously much more may be required to be done. Maybe you need to push up that figure in a bigger way if you want better voter turnout ultimately.
A lot is read into voter turnouts. Traditionally, sephologists feel a low turnout shows the reluctance of the elector to vote out the incumbent government, and conversely, a higher turnout reflects anti-incumbency and anger against the government. But realistically, till the results, one does not know whose voter turned out to vote. BJP has always laid emphasis on booth-level work. During a booth workers' meeting, Sushma Swaraj had famously recounted how she had once made rotis and another worker taken the lady of the house to vote during the lunch hour. With 6 more phases before India gets a new government, we hope the turnout picks up. We now take you to Bihar, which is witnessing one of the most interesting contests. Last year, Janata Dal United President and Bihar Chief Minister Nitish Kumar became the pivot of opposition unity. The India Bloc was formed and the first meeting was held in Patna to set the agenda of the opposition grouping. But within months, Nitish had jumped ship and aligned with BJP. He is now heading a government with BJP at the state level and fighting the Lok Sabha elections in alliance as well. In the 2019 elections of the 40 seats in Bihar, NDA had swept the elections and only one seat went to Congress. How does it look this time? I'm joined by my colleague Kumar Anshuman, who's traveling through Bihar right now. But first, what does the low voter turnout mean?
First phase of election has already happened in Bihar, taken place in Bihar, and because of low polling, all the parties are a little worried about, you know, who are these voters who did not come out to vote. It has raised an alarm on both sides, NDA and India Bloc also. And now they have started focusing on taking out more people to vote. So the BJP, they have now formed a committee of 8 to 10 BJP workers for every 20 houses in the constituency. They'll make sure in the coming 5 days that voter slips reaches every household. They have deployed 8 to 10 workers on every 20 houses, as I said. And these workers for the coming 3-4 days will be in touch with these 20 houses. They'll connect them regularly on a daily basis. On the election day, they'll plan to take them to voting as early as possible. They plan that, you know, before it gets hotter in the afternoon, they should come and vote, exercise their franchise and go back home. The target is to get the maximum voters out. From the RJD and India Bloc side, you know, they are also putting their panchayat level workers to visit the villages, village workers to visit all the households, their voters, and, you know, try to tell them that, you know, you need to vote and you need to come early for vote. So both sides are working hard this time to increase the voting percentage so that, you know, their voters come in large numbers and vote in the second phase. How much they are able to do that, we'll see when the next round of polling happens in Bihar on 26th April.
Anshuman asked RJD leader Manoj Jha about concerns on low voter turnout. Here's what he said.
Look, low turnout worries me as a citizen, as a political activist, because the very purpose of wholesome participation in this festival of democracy gets, I think it doesn't convey better. However, if I analyze all the 4 seats in Bihar and the turnout and analyze it in different segments, assembly segments of the parliamentary constituency, it tells us that we are much more in a better position. Old theories, low turnout is pro-incumbency and high turnout is anti-incumbency voting. I think that kind of narrative has gone away if you analyze the elections.
Now let's look at the overall election dynamics. I asked Anshuman what the issues are in Bihar as the alliances have changed since the last election.
Yes, Nidhi, alliances have changed since the last election, but not since the last Lok Sabha election. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. 2019, BJP and JDU contested together. Again, they are contesting together. In the second phase, there are 5 seats going for polling. That is Katihar, Kishanganj, Purnia, Bhagalpur, and Banka. And all these seats, JDU candidates are there. So this round is very crucial for JDU. On the ground, if you talk about, you know, I think it's happening everywhere that whenever you talk to people, there is a huge anti-incumbency against the sitting MP. I have not come across a single person who tells me that he is very happy with the MP, and it's across constituencies. Second, there is a Modi factor, undoubtedly. There is a Modi factor. People are looking at Modi, and a lot of people on ground will tell you that, you know, we are not looking at the candidate, we are voting for Modi.
हर बार के लोग मोदी जी को सपोर्ट कर रहे हैं, इसमें कहीं दो मत नहीं, और यही चांस है कि इनका सीट जो है वो कवर करे,
निकल जाएगा।
हाँ, किसी कास्ट के लोग हैं, बुजुर्ग हो, बच्चा हो, जो है मोदी जी का लहर।
अच्छा, हाँ, आपको लगता है मोदी सरकार ने बहुत काम, अजय मंडल ने बहुत काम
किया? मोदी सरकार क्या कर रहा है, बाप ने किसी को कमा करके दिया है, अनाज उठा रहा है, अभी 5 बरस दे रहा है, वोट किसको देंगे? मोदी को देंगे, मोदी दे रहा है, मोदी को वोट देंगे।
अभी तक कोई इसको भागलपुर डिस्ट्रिक्ट में ही बोल रहे हैं, कोई नहीं पहचान रहा है।
द मेन इशू हियर इज फॉर द यूथ, व्हेन यू टॉक टू देम, सम ऑफ देम टॉक अबाउट जॉब्स, that yeah, jobs are important, but basically what I am finding out is that, you know, there is a clear caste divide among all this. I mean, who votes for whom is, you can identify by the caste. What the BJP and JDU are trying to do is, you know, take it beyond caste and make it a national election narrative where Modi is the leader and you're voting for Modi. Undoubtedly, a section of women voters will go with that narrative because, you know, among poor people, you know, things about this free ration, and PM Kisan and other government schemes are being talked about. But is there a buzz about that? I think it's not there. It's not there. So this is the kind of the two extremes where BJP-led NDA is trying to make it a national battle, make a national election, make it a Modi election, while the opposition is trying to take it on the caste lines.
That is a very interesting point, Anshuman, about caste and the Modi factor. How much has Nitish changing sides from the Mahagathbandhan to NDA? How much of that is reverberating on the ground?
Very good question, Nidhi. Very good question. Because, you know, the kind of flip-flop has happened in the past with Nitish Kumar. In my travel, I have not found a single person who is admiring Nitish Kumar. Maybe a group of voters are still with him, but everyone on the street says that, you know, Nitish makes flip-flop, he goes from here to Lugu, goes from here to there. And remember, three main leading parties in Bihar, this election means three different things for these three parties. For BJP, this election is about giving a national government again under leadership of Modi. For RJD, it is about making some dent into BJP-led NDA, because last time RJD could not win a single seat. For JDU, despite being in NDA, this is a survival battle. Nitish is little in the background this time. He is only talking about Prime Minister Modi. He talks about the days when RJD was in power in Bihar, that, you know, people were very scared, you know, there's a lot of crime and all those things. He does not talk much about his achievements, what he has done, but he says that in the last 15, 20 years he has been in power. He has changed Bihar. He has done a lot of things for Bihar. I mean, infrastructure development, road infrastructure and education. But whether Nitish Kumar will remain relevant in Bihar politics or not, this election is going to decide.
Take us through the opposition's campaign. What are they making it? Because I traveled to Rajasthan and I saw that the opposition was trying to keep it very local. You know, the not Modi-centric, but very local, and also extending to the fact that constitutional liberties are being infringed upon, all of that. So what exactly is the opposition talking about there?
So, Nidhi, the main opposition leader campaigning here is RJD leader Tejasvi Yadav. He is the main campaigner for the opposition in this state. Right from ticket distribution, RJD has very cleverly or very calculatively given tickets to Kushwahas this time, because Kushwahas are voters of Nitish Kumar. So what actually Tejasvi is trying to do is, you know, while contesting for 2024 Lok Sabha election, he is eyeing a 2025 assembly elections. You know, RJD has a base of Muslim Yadav voters. One. Second, they have given tickets to 5 to 6 women candidates. Now, remember, all these are votaries of Nitish Kumar. Kushwaha voters, largely we say that love Kush voter. Love is Urmi, Kush is Kushwaha. They are with Nitish Kumar. Tejasvi wants to, you know, just invade into that vote bank, make a dent into that vote bank and get a share so that he'll be comfortable in 2025 when he goes for the assembly elections. So he's focusing on jobs, he's focusing on economic development and then local issues.
From changed political equations in Bihar, we now move down south to another interesting state. Kerala, which presents the dichotomy and contradictions in India block. Here, the Congress is pitted against its India bloc ally, the Left Front. So while they may be coordinating on specific seats in Rajasthan, Jharkhand and West Bengal, they are engaged in a no-holds-barred fight in Kerala. Add to this complex mix, the BJP, which is looking to make inroads into this bipolar political landscape. Another interesting contest is in the state capital of Thiruvananthapuram, where Congress MP Shashi Tharoor is bidding for a fourth term and Union Minister Rajiv Chandrasekhar is making his debut. Economic Times senior editor C.L. Manoj speaks about the ground issues.
Thiruvananthapuram is a very prestigious Lok Sabha constituency, being the capital city of Kerala. And also it has a tradition of very close electoral contest. It also witnessed major upsets and big high-profile leaders contesting, winning and losing. On the one side, you have the Congress sitting MP Shashi Tharoor, having scored a hat-trick already from Thiruvananthapuram. He is looking for a very record fourth consecutive victory here. And challenging him this time is BJP's Rajiv Chandrasekhar, now a minister in the Modi government. So as we travel in this constituency and speak to the people, it gives an impression that once again this seat is going to witness a very close contest. I get an impression that it is increasingly becoming a Tharoor versus Rajiv Chandrasekhar contest.
So India bloc faces this major dilemma in Kerala, like it faces in West Bengal as well, where two India bloc constituents are actually they're facing off in Kerala. How are they tackling that dichotomy on ground?
Well, as far as Kerala is concerned, the Congress and the left parties are quite experienced in dealing with this, contradiction in the national politics and the state politics. If you go back from the UPA 1, where the Congress led the government and the left parties backed that government from outside, even that time there was an assembly election, they fought against very bitterly in Kerala, Congress and the left. So this election also, we see an extension of the same. While both the sides are partners in India bloc at the national level, in Kerala, they fight against each other as the main rivals in all the 20 Lok Sabha constituency. And the way they are fighting, as you must have noticed, it has become very aggressive, if not bitter, in the recent days. And just as this attack was getting more and more vocal, today we had the Congress announcing from Thiruvananthapuram through P. Chidambaram that if the Congress and the India bloc come to power, they will repeal the CAA. So this verbal war between the two are also forcing both of them to reposition many of their stated positions. So along with that, BJP is also trying to emerge as a third player in Kerala politics, because the last two elections in Thiruvananthapuram, when Tharoor won, it is the BJP candidate who came second. And it is in this context that Tharoor Chandrasekhar contest are becoming a star attraction here.
So Manoj, apart from Thiruvananthapuram, are there other seats where BJP could be in the reckoning, or is it the left and the Congress face-to-face in most others?
There are some seats, say for example, Trivandrum, Thrissur, Palghat and Pathanamthitta. These are the seats where the BJP has been, growing off late. In the context of the BJP, four, five seats would be very closely watched. Whereas the overall contest in Kerala in the 20 seats, it is more or less the Congress versus the left.
Is corruption an issue there, or is it really state politics, performance of the left government really at the fore?
This election has an element of allegations of corruption. You've seen the even Rahul Gandhi said while some other opposition members are in jail, why the central agencies are not going as harsh against the Chief Minister of Kerala. He's referring to some of the central agencies' investigation into, say, for example, the alleged corruption in certain left-backed cooperative banks in Kerala. And also there are certain allegations of corrupt practice in certain, for example, the alleged gold smuggle scandal. And of late, there had been an ED probe into the Chief Minister's daughter's IT firm regarding certain payments she reportedly, or her company reportedly, received. Yes, so these charges and counter charges are also part of this campaign this time.
Kerala is obviously an important state for Congress, as Rahul Gandhi also represents Wayanad constituency in Lok Sabha. Interestingly, CPI leader D. Raja's wife and a prominent left leader herself, Annie Raja, has been fielded against him this time. We will keep bringing you more from here. But now, my colleague Jatin Thakkar takes us through Vidarbha region in Maharashtra, which is often in national news for farmers' suicides. Water is the main issue for parched Vidarbha. With changed political equations in the state, the opposition grouping Maha Vikas Agadi is looking at major gains here. Jatin tells us that this particular belt has a vibrant Dalit politics, which has multiple players, but the main contest is between BJP and Congress.
So I traveled to the most of those Lok Sabha seats which are going for the first two phase polls. Especially I covered all the five Lok Sabha seats, Ramtek, Nagpur, Bhandara, Gondia, Garchilori, Chandrapur, and also then Buldana, Kola, Amravati, Wardha, Yavantmal, Washim, which are going for the polls in the second phase. This region of Nagpur, especially the Vidarbha region, assumes importance because it's the headquarters of RSS Nagpur, is in Nagpur. Then your deputy chief minister of state, Devendra Fadnavis, is from here. BJP state president is from here. And this is the region where Congress, this region was once a bastion of Congress. So the fight on most of these seats is between the BJP and the Congress. And this is the region where Congress got only the one Lok Sabha seat which Congress won last time. It got it from this region only, that was Chandrapur Lok Sabha seat. This region always comes into the makes national headlines when the elections are not there, primarily because of the farmer suicides and the farmer distress. And that issue is still there. Whether even in the urban centers like Nagpur, or even in the urban areas of Yamatwal, Wardha, people talk about water shortage. That's a very issue that runs across the class, across the caste, across the region. But once you take left or right from the highway in this region and go inwards 15-20 kilometers towards central areas, and then in the talk to the farmers, they all talk about the biggest issue for them is water. The groundwater level has depleted, where there is a usual water shortage, rainfall is very scarce. They keep on asking for a better canal network.
You must have spoken to farmers. How do you sense their distress?
From Bhandara, I was moving towards Gondia, and when I, stepped down from the highway and I went inside 15-20 kilometers, a farmer was working with his son. That farmer hails from a Kunbi caste. And his son, who has now just joined up, as a clerk in the Bank of Maharashtra, he was posted in Patna. So he came here, he was helping his father. He told me, ki jab bhi main ghar pe phone karta hun, my parents only talk about pani, pani, pani. And then he said the one line which stuck with me. He said, यहाँ नेता तो एक दूसरे को पानी पिलाने की और पानी लाने की बात करते हैं, बट पानी इज ओनली टॉक्ड अप इन इलेक्शन, पर पानी कभी आता नहीं है।
जतिन, इट्स अ बिग इशू एज फार एज पीपल आर कंसर्न्ड, इज इट अ इशू यू थॉट दैट पीपल विल वोट ऑन?
सी निधि, दिस एरिया वाज पार्ट ऑफ सेंट्रल प्रोविंस एंड बराड़, So this has, unlike Northwest Maharashtra or Maharashtra, here you find a sizable Hindi-speaking population, and that Hindi state influence, Hindi heartland influence of caste politics is very much there. There are, you know, there are 5-6 Kunbi caste bodies, there are 5-6 Teli caste bodies. Then besides them, you are a bit of Maratha population is also there. Then you have, this Mali Samaj, which we call Semi in Heartland. They are in large number there. Then are Pawars, P-O-W-A, not the Pawar, Shar Pawar. They are there. They all have their bodies. They have all have opened, like we say, resting homes, dharamshalas. They all have their small education institutions, other community institutions. So sometimes when that things becomes a very, very much, prominent. Secondly, being close to the part of Central Province and Barad and having some influence of Hindi heartland, a Ram temple is the issue which is BJP is trying to make a big here. And secondly, being a Lok Sabha elections, who will be the Prime Minister, that is also the factor. These are the factors which are also, dominating the people's mentality and their mind space also. The caste, the dharam, and then who will be the Prime Minister.
Jatin, tell us what exactly are the issues that Congress is raking, since in that entire region, Congress just has one seat.
So Congress is trying every effort to increase their tally. They have this time formed a coalition of, which they are calling as a DMK, Dalit, Muslim and Kunbi. Kunbis are OBC caste here and are in a large numbers on most of the Vidarbha seats, both in first phase and second phase. Well, the BJP is countering through it this RMK, Ram, Modi or Ka. Kam here stands for the beneficiaries and the work they have done. Besides that, Congress is very aggressively and consistently talking about its manifesto, the promises which they have made. While the BJP is talking about the national pride and the Modi's guarantee that whatever Modi is saying, he will deliver that. So these are the pitch of these two main players in this region.
What are the parties that are the main players in this region?
Another major player is in this region is Prakash Ambedkar, is Vanchit Bahujan Agadi. If you look at the data of these seats from last several elections, Vanchit Bahujan Agadi has got more than starting from 50,000 to 2.5 lakh votes on these. This is the range where votes are casted to the Vanchit Bahujan Agadi. Now, it would be interesting to see on whose votes VBA cut into. Normally, it is believed that it gets, both this Dalit votes, which usually side with Congress, which people conventionally say side with the Congress. But this time, he's aggressively working and is going, trying to penetrate among all Dalits and trying to present a united Dalit force. So let's see how it plays out, because BJP gets a sizable number of Hindu Dalit votes.
Jatin, you said irrigation water and drinking water is a major issue in Vidarbha. Do you see reverberations of farmers' agitation up north in Maharashtra as well?
The protests which we see in the north, the farmers are not as consolidated, not as unified under any organization as we see even in Northwest Maharashtra, where cooperative sector is a big. Farmers are here. It's more of an anguishness. It's more of a pain. It's more of a anger, but which doesn't look translating into any action. They organize, they sit on dharnas, but not in that aggressive, assertive manner as we see in that. But it would be interesting to see these are the silent voters and how will they cast vote and how much water will play the role.
Finally, like so many other seats we are hearing from, is low voter turnout a concern in Vidarbha as well?
So there are concerns across the political parties about the lower voter turnout in the first phase. While I was traveling through Vidarbha, see the temperature is rising, the mercury is rising, the Vidarbha is already touching 42, 43 degrees Celsius. That is contributing to the lower voter turnout. Again, Vidarbha is essentially an agriculture belt, and this is a harvesting season for rabi crops. That is another, and being the small land holding, the entire family gets engaged so that they don't have to spend much on the farm laborers for the harvesting. So that is also contributing to the lower voter turnout. It was visible in the numbers as well. They're polling on the first five Lok Sabha seats, which were going to polls in the first phase of Vidarbha, was 62.44%, which was 2% less than last time. And this happened despite all the efforts to ensure massive voter turnout by all the political parties. Even Nitin Gadkari said in Nagpur, he wanted Nagpur to ensure 75% voting in the first phase of polls, his own Lok Sabha seat, but which didn't happen.
These were our stories from the ground. We will bring you some more next Wednesday. Do tune in. This is all for today. I'm your host, Nidhi Sharma. But before I sign off, I must say, go and vote. Get that finger inked. See you next week. This episode was brought to you by sound designer Amrit Reggie and producer Sorohini Jain. Executive producers Anirban Chaudhary and Arijit Barman. Thank you for listening, and if you like this episode, do spread the word around. All new episodes of the Morning Brief podcast drop every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. It streams on Amazon Prime Music, JioSaavn, Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. And of course, ET's own audio platform, ET Play. Have a great week ahead. All clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits mentioned in the description.